Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money. Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, well, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open
90%.
Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All right, welcome back. Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, Financial Guys, the place where money meets politics. And if you need any information on our podcast, always go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, and I'll probably be all over the place this week. I know, Glenn, we don't do a lot of prep. We sort of print a few things that we send back and forth to each other, maybe talk a little bit about public versus private, meaning that, you know, you see this little area in Seattle that now they're having all kinds of issues with.
Oh, yeah, of course. You expected that, right? You
know, what's really going to be shitty about that is wait until the lawsuits come, right? So little Billy sneaks out of his mom's basement and goes and protests and takes over an area. Now little Billy gets shot. Now little Billy's mom and dad sue, and the taxpayers get double whacked because little Billy should have been protected by the police in this zone or protected by somebody, right? Wait until the lawsuits happen. We'll talk COVID, by the way, as well.
So here we are on Tuesday morning, and very soon, by the way, we're going to be streaming these shows live. So you'll be able to actually do call-ins on Tuesday morning. We usually film this 9 to 10. But, you know, here we are Tuesday morning. The mayor of Seattle now, Mike, has decided that, okay, the chop zone's over. I guess a couple of murders, a couple of rapes, and all kinds of...
That's shocking, because I thought it was going to be an all-loving summer.
Yeah, it was a summer of love. She said last week it was a summer of love. Look at these people doing such a great job. Now she's saying we're going to go ahead and clear that zone. I can't wait to see how this works out, right? Are they going to send in the social workers and their new police force? Because remember, she said, we need a new, we're going to tear down the police force, and we are going to reinstitute a more fair and loving police force, which is going to include more psychologists and social workers. So I guess my question to the Seattle mayor is, are you going to send in social workers to clear the streets? Because last time I saw, you had armed people protecting the borders of this so-called shop. Yeah. Amazing, by the way, that liberals don't believe in borders when it comes to the country, but yet the first thing they do when setting up their autonomous zone is they put a big giant wall around it and enforce a border with ID and things like that. Just amazing how that works. You know, it's unbelievable.
I love the fact that I'm so torn by this, because originally I'm like, Trump go in there and take care of it. Nah, let them get what they deserve. Right. Take care of it. But I think the fact that, you know, that should be Trump's campaign message, right?
Absolutely.
Here, look at, is this what you want your country to look like? These are Democrat-run cities that, you know, these Antifa freaks or whatever they are, right, are just running over the Democrat mayor and the Democrat, you know, governor there.
That will be the campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt.
Here, do you want the rest of the country to look like this? Or are we going to support our police officers and, you know, and go back to some kind of a normal type of life? And I think most people, 8 out of 10, are not that mentally ill to say, yes, I really like what's going on there. I think I want that.
No question. I mean, I think the most of America, you got the silent majority. You know, they're using the Tulsa rally this last weekend to say, well, look, he doesn't have near the support. Except that 14 million people watched it on TV, which makes it the number one of all time highest watched political rally ever in history, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
14 million people. So
my understanding is a lot of the left-wingers went on to try to get the tickets, which is exactly what you do. You've been to rallies before. I've been to rallies before. You try to go online and get the tickets, and they're trying to eat up the tickets.
Well, it's fine, because now Trump has all – maybe some of these kids might actually watch the emails coming in from the Trump campaign, and maybe some of them will actually get educated and be like, oh, wait a minute now.
I doubt it, too.
Actually, it's interesting because they talked about this being run by millennials, and they were so proud of these millennials or, you know, the young kids for sabotaging the rally. It turns out it was a 54-year-old, old, ugly liberal woman.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have called her ugly, but she is. No question.
Well, her soul is ugly.
Her soul is ugly, that's for sure. So it wasn't kids. It was a, you know, I'm sure a former Clinton staffer. I'm sure if they look deeper into it, right? But the fact of the matter is it wasn't millennials. It was a bitter, you know, 54-year-old liberal lady that decided that she was going to play shenanigans. And AOC's out there, by the way, Ocasio Cortez, who very well may lose in today's primary.
Let's hope.
I'm hoping that by the time this airs tomorrow, we have a new Democrat candidate for that particular district.
A more moderate. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of her name. Caruso Cabrera.
Yeah.
She's a CNBC reporter.
And there's a Republican running, too, right, in November against
her. Yes, but this is the primary, Michelle Caruso Cabrera, I think is how you pronounce her name.
Is there a conservative black woman that's running as a Republican in that
general
district?
Yeah. In the general, I believe. So the chance of Ocasio Cortez maintaining that seat is extraordinarily slim.
Could you imagine a conservative woman taking over that seat? That would be incredibly great.
Well, even Michelle Caruso Cabrera, she's more moderate. I mean, she's not. She's definitely a Democrat, but she's not like, you know, lefty, you know, communist, you know, full blown socialist commie like Ocasio Cortez.
It would be so nice to see her lose that seat, just to not have to listen to her mouth anymore as much, right? I'm sure she'll go on some kind of a speaking tour and make all kinds of money for herself redistribute it, I'm sure, because that's what they do, right? They'll make a nice book for herself, make a few million bucks, and buy a waterfront property somewhere right next to Bernie Sanders.
I'm sure. Well, it should be interesting to see. So we'll know the results of that tomorrow in the primary.
Private versus public, you're talking about. Could you imagine if it was, if somebody went in and took over a private company, like a private business, what would happen, right? Imagine if somebody said, we're going to take over Michael Jordan's house, or we're going to take over Tiger Woods' house, or we're going to take over, you know, you name it, you know, the Dick's family house or the Dick's family store, right? I mean, at some point, you know, private security would come in and say enough is enough and handle it, I would think, relatively quickly, right? In fact, you know, you and I, we have an office down in Jupiter, and I said to Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, because I live there, and my guess is if you and I got on a boat and hopped off on Tiger Woods' property, we'd get our ass kicked within about
immediately. So think about this.
Within seconds.
So we talk a lot about Republican versus Democrat, and, you know, Republican-led cities are doing much better, obviously, much more law and order. But the reality of it is, and this is something that we don't talk about as often as we probably should, and that is the public sector versus the private sector. You know, the public sector oftentimes has lack of accountability, you know, job security for the incompetent among us, right? You see this, you see it in every town hall, in every permit department, in every, you know, local government all the way up to the state. You know, they talked about New York having a disaster of unemployment, right? People waited weeks and weeks and weeks to get their unemployment checks. But the same thing happened in Florida. Yeah. It was worse in Florida, actually. Right. The unemployment check, why? Because it's run by government bureaucrats. That's why. It doesn't matter if DeSantis is a great governor. He is a great governor, by the way, in Florida. Yes. The Florida governor is doing a fantastic job.
Still going to be dysfunctional.
The government is still going to be dysfunctional.
The key is
when you don't have accountability.
The less of it, right? I mean, that's the key, right? So you look at Florida and you go, well, why is Florida? I saw that new apartment contracts are down 80% to 90%
in New York City.
In New York
Manhattan,
City, right? But real estate throughout this entire crisis has been up in Florida, which, you know, we know, right? People are going to continue to leave. More and more people are going to continue to leave New York City. I even said, watch and see how socialism works in New York. You'll see some patches of winter. Buffalo might be one of them, right? You might see more people, a lot of people left Buffalo, went to New York City. You might see them flopping back to Buffalo. New York City is going to get its butt kicked for a long time.
It'll get caught out.
This could actually be, I want to see the end of New York City. It's not. There's going to be a lot of people that rally behind it and love the city, and they're going to do what they got to do. But the fact of the matter is that migration from New York to Florida is going to continue. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, yes, is it incompetent? Is government incompetent? Yes, but it's smaller there. There's less room to be incompetent, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Exactly. But when it comes to, you know, the public versus private again, you know, it doesn't matter. Look, if you put Walmart in charge of the unemployment benefits, how fast do you think people would have gotten their checks? Like next day, right? If you put Amazon, look, if I can order something on a Saturday night at 9 o'clock and have Amazon deliver it to me at noon the next day, that's pretty impressive, right? Yet at the same time, you know, we have people filing for unemployment in all these states, Republican and Democrat, waiting weeks and weeks, in some cases months. You know, some people called the state line hundreds of times a day just to get through so they could file their application. If that was Walmart, it wouldn't have happened, right? If that was an Amazon, it wouldn't have happened. If that was any company in the private sector, if they had screwed up unemployment benefits as bad as every single one of these states did, they would have been fired and replaced. That's called free market capitalism. That's how it's supposed to work. Unfortunately, when you have government entities, there is no competition with government, right? That's why you have unaccountable bureaucrats that are accountable to nobody, right? Nobody ever gets fired. It never improves. Competition ultimately flushes out the weak, the people that can't get the job done, and rewards those that can get the job done. But that doesn't happen in government when there's no competition. Look at the educational system, right? But we'll get to that in a second. Getting back to the private versus public, you can go up to a monument in Niagara Square in Buffalo, and you can throw a rope around it and try to drag it down, and nobody will bother you. Police will stand by and look at you destroying public property, right?
Right.
You can set up an autonomous zone in a liberal city like Seattle, right? So you're going to go to Seattle, you're going to set up the zone. They're trying to do another zone in D.C., right? They tried to do a zone in Tennessee. You know, if they tried to do that on Ted Turner, who owns, I think, more property in this country than anybody else, imagine what would happen if these liberal clowns decided to, I don't know, let's say they hijacked a Ted Turner ranch in Montana, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they said, this is going to be our autonomous zone. Ted Turner's a liberal. How long do you think that liberal Ted Turner would put up with that?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say about 4 minutes, right?
Right.
I would say within minutes, yeah. private security would be there, yeah. and they would be willing to use deadly force.
And backup security to that.
Yep. To expel those people.
Yep.
Try it, liberals. I'd love to. Look, the Democrats are all loving, all inclusive. You know who did this was, I can't think of her name now. Laura Loomer.
Yes.
She decided that,
Nancy Pelosi.
Let me step over your fence, right? Security was there in seconds to say, you're trespassing. Mm-hmm. We're going to have you arrested.
She wanted to set up tents and let people live there, right?
Yeah, why not? She's got plenty of room around her gated mansion,
Lots of room.
Why not?
No, wouldn't happen, and she couldn't even get through the border.
Right.
Couldn't even get through the border.
Right.
Yeah.
So these lefties that want to take over this area, why don't you go take over a liberal's area, right?
Yeah.
In Portland mayor was all about the peaceful protests. He was all about, I support the protesters until they shut down the street in front of his condo.
Yeah.
Until they started to vandalize his property. And then he did a press conference right away. Maybe if we could find it, we'll play it. And he said, oh my God, I don't support violence. This is not right. I don't support this, not one bit.
It was five minutes down the street.
It's on your street now.
Yeah.
It's affecting you, and it's affecting your neighborhood and your property. I get it.
The great running back Herschel Walker said, hey, look, if all these people don't want police, I will pay to send them to a country that doesn't have police.
Right.
Good for you,
man. He gets it, right? Yeah. He understands the difference.
Absolutely.
But, this public versus private, we're allowing these clowns to deface public property, right? Now, mind you, we paid for this public property, hence the name public property, right? Those statues weren't paid out of somebody's, personal pocket. It was paid from most of them, not all of them. Some were private. Most of them are publicly taxpayer-funded monuments, right? Mm. Now, look at Andrew Jackson. Boy, he was a son of a bitch, right?
Yeah.
He was the Trail of Tears. He was more corrupt than Obama was.
Yeah.
He was probably one of the worst presidents that we've ever had in our history, if you really understand history. Do I think that his monument should be torn down?
No.
No.
I think we should learn from it.
That's
what
it's all about,
right? Exactly. Alan West, by the way, just one of a remarkably bright guy. He's like, the last thing you want to do is tear that history down. You want to see that history. You want to face that history. You want to learn from it.
And
he's absolutely right by that, right? You can't just rip everything up and say, okay, that didn't happen.
Right.
You've got to say it did happen. And it happened to all different types of cultures, right? We were talking last week about the Italians. When Italians came into the country.
Yeah. And Irish.
Yeah, Irish. Yeah, they were all looked at as, third class or, you can't make it. But they didn't listen, right? And it wasn't government handouts. We learned from history.
Right.
We moved on. And some of these, of course, some of these races that come in that have the least amount of handouts, miraculously, within one decade, within one cycle, they are at the top for education. They're at the top for wage earners. They're at the top for everything, without
Net
government
worth,
involvement.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. The thing is, the problem that we have now in this country is that the Republicans don't believe in smaller government anymore. I'm talking the mainstream Republicans.
There are
folks like Jim Jordan and others that are still conservatives by nature.
Right.
But for the most part, the Republican Party is no longer the party of small government. That went bye-bye after Reagan.
Yep.
Bush number two came in, or Bush number one came in and said, read my lips, no new taxes. A year and a half later, he raises taxes, right? Bigger government. Why? Bush, what the largest drug program, one of the largest government expansions in history up until that point, before Obamacare, of course. Why? Huge government expansion under the Bush administration. So sometime after Reagan, that message got lost, right? There was no longer somebody who was championing the ideals of smaller government and more free market capitalism, right? Mm-hmm. And so now the Republican Party is out there saying, well, we just have our big government idea is better than the Democrat big government idea. I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you that neither party has the right idea when it comes to bigger government. Because again, when you look at no competition and no accountability, you get the Buffalo Public Schools, yeah. right? You get that's exactly what you end up with. Look at the public education system in this country. It's a disaster for the most part.
It's been the dumbing down of America, and we can now see the product of that, right? Those are the kids that are in Seattle taking over the
You
know, how bad it is,
right?
I mean, we are the country that has dissolved racism in a sense that no slavery, not that there's not racist out there, right? But when you look at, you know, the opportunity now, right? I mean, well, Barack Hussein Obama was a black man who was president, right?
He made it to the highest, most powerful seat in the world.
The mayors of all these cities are all black, right? I mean, and you know, that's what America was really all about, right? It was, you know, breaking down some of these, quote, barriers and saying, okay, look, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, you can be great, right? There's no other place in the world that has that type of mobility. And, you know, what we're going through now is just the dumbing down of the educational system and people really not understanding history, right? Not understanding what people, you know, how many white people died to end slavery, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, but it's a dumbing down of America right now. It's a dumbing down of, as you said, I was reading an article the other day, there's 70%, I think it's 70% of black men in California cannot pass a proficiency exam to get out of, you know, to equate themselves to the grade level that they should be at.
Right.
So if they should be at the fifth grade, 70% of them are not at that level. If they should be at the 12th grade level, 70% of them are not near that level.
That's the public education
system. That is ridiculously scary.
Imagine.
That's, by the way, that's what they should be protesting right now.
Absolutely.
Right? Not saying that this police officer doesn't deserve to go to jail. He was a bad apple, right? But when you look at the percentages of police officers that are bad apples, it's 1-2%. Well, you're telling me that 70% of inner city black kids are not, 70% of black men in California are not up to par in school. That's what I would be pissed off about.
Now imagine if there was a free market for education. Mm-hmm. Imagine if there was multiple charter schools and a voucher program where you could take that voucher and you could enroll your child into a school that didn't have a 70% failure rate, that didn't put kids graduating, you know, at 30% proficiency levels. Imagine that. Well, what would happen is, of course, it just like happened in Louisiana, people would take those vouchers and they would go to the schools that were educating their children, right? Yeah. The schools that were not educating their children, guess what would happen to those schools? They would go out of business,
right?
Look at the Buffalo Public Schools. Crystal Barton is still there, as far as I know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she's retired by now, but she sure as hell hasn't been fired.
And she still has got a pension.
Right? You're talking about a principal of a school, leader of a school, who targeted a student and went after her in the public media. A child, a 17-year-old kid, she ruined that kid's future. Why? Because she could. Because she didn't like that child, right? Yeah. So she went after that kid. Why is she still a principal? Why is she still even in the school? She should be barred from the grounds. But yet we can't. Why? Because that's unionism. There's no competition there, right? If you wouldn't have to fire her if the parents could choose where to put their children, because the parents would choose to take their kids out of that school and put them in a better school. And guess what would happen? Crystal wouldn't have any kids at her school anymore, right? That school would go out of business. They would go under. That's why the private sector works, and that's why we rail against big government, no matter what who's running it. It doesn't matter if the Republicans are in charge, right? There are cities where Republican mayors are and Republicans are in charge. Guess what? The school system still sucks.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's no competition, right? So we need to get back to the philosophy of smaller government, getting the government to shrink in size. You know, unfortunately, as Ronald Reagan said, and he nailed it, the closest thing to perpetual life or to immortality is a government agency or a government program. And he was absolutely right. All those government programs, from the Energy Department to the Education Department, those are all put in place by Jimmy Carter. I was hoping that by now, in the fourth year of Trump's administration, that the Education Department would be gone. Instead, and this is where I really have a problem with Trump, you put Betsy DeVos, probably the most useless Secretary of Education I have ever seen in my life. She thinks she's the Queen of England. She's going around reading books to children,
the only way you're
having
to
kiss her
ring. thing. Just get rid of the department.
Get rid of it. Right. It should have been, Betsy, here's your job. I want you to close down the education department on a national level and reassign all the tasks and jobs are working on curriculum and otherwise back to the states where it belongs.
That's right.
Let the state of Florida and New York and Oregon and whatever decide on the curriculum that best fits their kids. Guess what? The curriculum in New York, and I get it, we want to have this common theme so people can move around the country and have the same education system. But let's be honest here. I mean, do kids in farmland of Iowa, should they be learning the same Spanish that kids maybe in Miami are learning? Right. I mean, in Miami, maybe Spanish is important because there's a lot of Cuban Americans, there's a lot of Mexican and Hispanics that live in Miami. Miami, half the population roughly speaks Spanish, right? So maybe Spanish works, and that should be part of the curriculum in Miami. But it probably doesn't work in Iowa. Maybe in Iowa, instead of Spanish, they should be learning about things that affect people in Iowa, like farming and corn. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, but you know, now should people in Miami be learning about farming? Probably not.
Right?
Just as people in Iowa probably shouldn't be learning about Spanish. Right. You know, that's why it's important to get these education in government is to the most local level that you possibly can. We have gone the opposite direction in this country, and the Republicans are just as responsible by making the federal government this large, giant behemoth. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter. You look at the Republicans that have gone to Congress, right? Chris Collins is a great example of this. Chris was a lean Six Sigma disciple. You know, he came into county government.
He ran on Six Sigma the first time, not the second.
Well, right. but amazingly,
that's to tell you something.
At the county level, he shrunk the size of government.
Right.
He got the budget back in line. He ended with a surplus, right? And then he goes to the federal government.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he gets into the Washington Beltway. And he votes positive. He votes yes for every single budget.
And he'll take credit for being a pro-Trump guy in the beginning. He was not a pro-Trump guy in the beginning. We had him on a radio show, and he said, I'm not sure about Trump. Then when Trump got all the support, he said, I'm a Trump guy. But they always seem to be conservative until they're in office.
But
once they're in office, then they lose all that. Like, where does it go?
But he went in believing that smaller government was better.
Right.
And within 1 year of being inside that think tank that's the Washington, echo chamber.
Right.
He came out voting for every single, and he kept talking about, we need to get the debt lower. And yet he voted for every single continuing spending resolution,
He was saying, all you guys want to do is shut down the government. We said, yes.
Right.
We had him on the radio. We said, we want to shut down the government.
Right.
Yes, we
do.
If it means shutting down the government, keeping the essential employees there and doing the essential things, but the non-essential ones stay home and we can actually cut the size of government, yes, Chris, that's what we want to do.
Right.
And he just said, that's all you want to do is cut the size of government. Yes. We want to shut down the government.
You used to believe that too.
Yes.
But that's the thing is before he went in, he believed it. So something is wrong. And I think sadly, the only solution here is we have to get term limits in Congress, folks. Joe Biden has been there for 40 years.
Right.
He spent 8 years in the White House, and he's talking about how he needs to be elected so he can change things.
Right.
Change things.
You were there.
You were there, Joe.
For 8 years.
For 40 years, you've been in the Washington Beltway. You've had all kinds of opportunity to change things. You're part of the problem, Joe. Your single biggest accomplishment in your entire political career was the crime bill that you passed with Bill Clinton, right? Which incarcerated thousands and thousands and thousands of minorities for oftentimes, petty crimes, sadly. That was your whole program, to lower black unemployment and fix the inner cities, which is a mass incarceration, right? Not fix the education system.
No, they've all got amnesia.
Right?
It's funny.
But they didn't go in to fix the schools.
When
the Democrats had control of everything.
Yeah.
They had control of Congress. They had control
of
the White
House.
Mass incarceration.
That's the one thing Obama could have done was charter schools and really open it up to the inner city black community more. And instead, he just did the opposite.
Instead, Eric Holder sued Bobby Jindal.
That's right.
Louisiana.
And thank God Bobby Jindal had a brain in his head to push it through.
Yeah.
I heard McMurray this morning. He was talking about the economy and how bad the economy is, blaming it on Trump. And I'm thinking to myself, this is another dirtbag, right?
Who shut down
the running
economy?
For the 27th district. And who shut down the economy? Who was the never openers? Was it Trump and the Republicans, or was it you and your liberal buddies who said, you're going to kill grandma, right?
Yeah.
It was you.
Right.
And by the way, McMurray, the unemployment rates in the black community everywhere were the best they've ever been.
Right.
The best they've ever been.
Right.
You can't
breaking
say that
records.
The economy sucked for anybody.
No.
Because if you were a goat, you could have got a job somewhere.
Right.
Right. Right. I mean, you don't need to even speak English. You're hired.
You're hired. Right.
Right.
Right. Can you work the fry machine? Okay,
like,
good.
Were you here? Were you around McMurray? Yeah. Like, so it's unreal. Let's not just call. I know we're up against the break. COVID, by the way, the numbers are getting better. That's funny because I remember talking to my father about 2 months ago, and he said, I wouldn't get tested for COVID. I said, why? He goes, because they're going to use it against us. And I'm like, maybe we'll see. Well, sure enough, that's exactly what they're doing right now. It's amazing to me that for those of you that say this isn't political, bullshit. Yeah. Every hotspot happens to be a Trump winning state, right? And so let me get this straight. So we can't have NFL football or enjoy baseball because we can't have people together because it would rapidly spread COVID. Yet, we can have hundreds of thousands of people in the inner city of New York City, Philadelphia, Chicago, hundreds of thousands of people together protesting. That is not a problem, and that is not a hotspot, right? So just think about this. Philadelphia and inner city of Chicago are not hotspots. According to CNN, it's Florida, it's Oklahoma, it's Texas, right? So maybe Florida, Oklahoma, and Texas are not getting together enough because it doesn't seem to spread in places like Chicago, Philadelphia, or New York City now, where they're on top of each other, launching bodies through Macy's stores together.
Right.
That doesn't seem to be an issue, right? So maybe they need to give me a break. It's not political. It's all bullshit. So sure enough, you look at the state of Florida. First thing I did was said, where are people together the most? Well, it would normally be Orlando, but Mickey Mouse is shut down. So it's Miami-Dade County, right? South Beach, all that's open. The restaurants are open. Wow, hospitalization rates are actually down in Miami-Dade County. Right. No shit. So what does that tell me? That tells me that they're doing exactly what my father said was going to happen, which is you go get tested.
Right.
That way we can find out it's less deadly, and then we can just end all this stuff because we'll know hospitals won't get overrun. Bullshit. Now what they're doing is saying, oh, my God, Glenn had it a month ago. Right. Look at how crazy this is, right? So this is out of the
CDC. I thought that was the whole point, though.
This is out of the CDC. Mortality attributed to COVID-19 decreased compared to last week. Wait a minute. I thought the world was blowing up. I thought the country was blowing up, right? But remains elevated above baseline and may increase. It may increase. But as of last week, mortality rates were actually down.
But now the narrative is we have to keep masks on and stay social distancing until this thing goes away. I thought if you go back and you look at the timeline, and we're going to come out. I know Kelsey, you've been working on this hard, and Lily, and original Kelsey as well. You know, trying to put together this timeline over the last a bunch of months. But you know, originally we were. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding was we had to get to herd immunity, right? That was the idea.
Yeah.
And so the idea was to stay home. We're all going to get it one way or the other, but we're going to stay home so that we can flatten the curve. Our hospitals don't get overrun, and they can handle the surge. I don't remember ever it being about eliminating the virus or getting to zero. It was we have to flatten the curve so our hospitals don't get overrun. So as we go through this, we can get to herd immunity. My understanding was we had to have enough people that needed to get it.
Yep.
And, of course, again, the hospitals were, you know, handle the surge.
Only way that's going to happen is to open up the economy,
but how
we do with the flu.
But isn't this positive then? If more people are getting it.
Yeah, way down. Deadly than we were ever
but
told.
But hospitalizations are down.
Yes, way deadlier than
doesn't that help us get to herd immunity?
Way less deadly. And here's the other thing, right, and which nobody is talking about, and mark this here. The virus is going away. And what I mean by that is that as it's changing its mutation, it's getting weaker and weaker, right? And we all have heard of people that were on ventilators and they couldn't breathe, and this was the worst. You're not hearing any of that anymore, right? And I assure you, by the way, that if people were coming in Miami-Dade County and the ventilators were in high demand, CNN would be right there playing the story.
Of course they would.
Right? They would be the first one. The doctors are saying now, yes, you're coming in with COVID, but it's turning into more of a regular flu,
even less
deadly than the regular flu. And yes, you have it. Go home and quarantine yourself, but we don't need you on a ventilator. You're going to be fine. That, by the way, happened in Italy. We talked about an Israeli professor that said this is exactly what's going to happen, right? Yeah. It's going to go from you to me to her to him. Yeah. And by the time it gets down the road, it starts to weaken and weaken and weaken. Right. That's what we're seeing right now, right? Right. Now is the absolute 100% best time to say, okay, look, at the virus itself is weakening. Again, mark this down. I assure you that if people are on ventilators all over this country, CNN will be breaking into the hospital to show you footage of that, right?
Wow. And they might just steal
the
Milan footage.
Could be an Italian hospital
or
somebody
else.
But I assure you, rest assured, by the way, that if people are on ventilators in mass amounts, they are going in. You're not seeing that, right?
No.
So the virus is less deadly, right? It's starting to mutate itself into a way weaker form. We know that, right? By the way, I grabbed this out of Australia. Australia was really against the wearing of masks. You know, their numbers are no different than anybody else who was wearing the mask.
Doesn't matter.
Right? So stop, again, I love saying this. Stop scaring the goddamn children. Stop. Right. Stop. Your children have a 0% chance of dying from this. Zero.
Right.
Stop scaring them, right? The mask got to go. I mean, really, truly, they're not working. You look like a fool, especially the people driving around in the car by yourself. I'm just sick of it. I want to go back to a normal life.
Well, when I go back to herd immunity, though, and they had this whole story in Florida about, oh, these 16 girls went out to the bar. It was right after the opening, after Florida. It was early May or second week of May, and Florida went right to phase, you know, whatever it was. Or they could go to bars and restaurants. Florida was really only shut down for a month.
Yeah.
So these 16, this whole story they had, a whole spread, I don't know what paper it was, about how every single one of these kids started testing positive. You know, somebody got it. They believe it was maybe an employee at the restaurant.
Fine,
the restaurant said, wow, that somebody else brought it in. It wasn't one of our employees. All fine, right? A couple out of the 16, I think two, exhibited minor flu-like symptoms. The other 14 or so, 13, 14, were totally asymptomatic. So if that's the case, don't we want these young...
Yes, that's how you burn it out.
Right?
That's how you burn
Less
it out.
Less than 50. So now I said that to somebody recently. They said, well, but you have to understand, Glenn, you know, we don't know if because you have it, if you're immune to it, then in the future, the antibodies may only stay in your system for 2 or 3 months. So that may moving the goalposts, right? So now it's no longer about herd immunity; it's about keeping control over you for as long as possible, right? So Governor Cuomo, he can do anything he wants. He literally can decree that we cannot eat meat on Thursdays if he wants to,
right?
That's the kind of power he has.
Well, and I'll tell you what, Republicans and Democrats are listening to him. Yeah, I'm amazed.
Right, exactly.
I am absolutely amazed at the amount of people in the state that go, okay, I'll wear a mask, no problem. Oh, you want me to shut down my restaurant? Not a problem.
Oh, sure.
Hey, let me know when I can open it, reopen it. By the way, another beer merchant or somebody went out of business this week. They're not opening.
Yeah.
I live in Alma, New York, East Aurora border. Two restaurants there not opening. This is not, it's amazing to me. COVID in a box for these mental midgets is really, really going to do so much economic damage. Yeah. It's not even funny. There'll be opportunities out there, folks. And by the way, we manage money. That does not mean the stock market will be parallel with the economy, right? There's going to be winners out of this. I already know of people who are in the restaurant business that have had lots of cash on the sidelines and are going looking for opportunities out there, right? Unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people that get hurt out of this. A lot of suicides, a lot of depression. You're going to see all that over the next few months. And again, mark my words, I've continued to say this. We will see immune systems weaken. We will see people die of regular pneumonia and, things that they normally wouldn't die of, right? Which, by the way, they're trying to now co-mingle COVID with pneumonia, influenza.
Everything.
So now they're just saying, hey, look, this is the percentage of people that died last week of pneumonia, influenza, and COVID. By the way, 3,000 people died just in the state of Florida last year from pneumonia, from pneumonia.
Right.
We never really mentioned that or talk about that, right? So now they're trying to go bring them all together. Our immune systems will be, but mine won't be. I don't wear one of those stupid masks. But your immune system, if you're wearing it every day, will be weakened. And you're going to see people die of this stuff over the next 12 to 24 months.
So we're forcing these, young folks, right, under 40, we'll say, to wear masks. But again, don't we want, if they're not going to hospitals, wouldn't it be better if we let this thing just burn its way through? Because that, again, if you go back to March and you listen to Dr. Fauci or all these so-called experts, every one of them talked about herd immunity. We have to get the herd immunity. One way or the other, we have to get the herd immunity. Yeah. But we got to get there by not overwhelming our hospitals. If our hospitals are overrun, remember, they were, he brought in the USS Comfort to the tune of millions of dollars, didn't need it. They set up the whatever the center was in New York City.
Yeah, $21 million center they set up. I think it was like 50 people there just to visit or something.
Okay, fine. So you way over exaggerated. But now we know, we have more evidence that we know that the, especially in the younger folks, this thing is not even, they're not even feeling symptoms. So shouldn't we want, I mean, what we should be doing at this point is saying, look, if you're senior, if you're over 60, if you're in the at-risk pool, if you have pre-existing conditions, you should be wearing a mask. You should still be self-quarantining.
That's right.
You should stay home as long as possible.
Right.
Everybody healthy under 45 years of age.
Get out there.
Please get out there to the biggest rallies, parties, or group gatherings you possibly can.
Yeah, call it a protest.
And that way we can get the herd immunity.
And apparently
faster,
it doesn't hit there. So it's amazing. This is Dirtbag CNN. Two more Trump staffers test positive for coronavirus after Tulsa rally. Why are we not finding any of the
protesters? No word from the protesters.
Why are we not finding two more protesters in Philadelphia that smashed a Macy's store?
Right. No
tested
idea.
Positive.
Amazing.
Right? A joke. Absolute joke. Atlanta officer charged in Rashad Brooks' case. This is disgusting to me.
Yeah.
Really,
it
truly.
It really is.
This guy turns around.
You don't have any police officers anymore, though.
This guy turns around with a taser and fires it at a police officer. And anybody, somebody the other day, I was arguing with somebody else. I said, oh, you're a racist. Give me a break. Uh-huh. That is the most uneducated argument. I'm so
it's
sick
intellectually
and
lazy.
I don't give a crap whether this guy was white, blue, red, yellow, dark, tall, short. He turned around and fired a taser at a police officer.
Right.
That police officer has every right to go home to his family. And don't tell me, well, the taser wouldn't have killed him. Bullshit. What if he hits him with the taser and goes up and grabs his gun and shoots a bullet?
But the prosecutor in that town in Atlanta the previous week was making the case that a taser is a deadly weapon in another case.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So which is it, you know?
Well, he's going to walk.
It's all political.
And I hope we GoFundMe this guy with $300 million. And I hope he sues the shit out of the state of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because this is absolutely ridiculous.
It really
police
is.
Lives matter. This guy was a dirtbag. He fell asleep in the
drive-thru.
He was completely drunk.
He passed out.
Sorry, yeah.
Right.
He passed out in the drive-thru, right? This police officer was handling this very professionally. He was going to cuff him, put him in the back of the car. What if he just gets away and hops back in his car and drives home and runs over my daughter?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, the guy was plowed.
Exactly.
Right? So
you fall asleep after a glass of warm milk.
Yeah.
You pass out after a fifth of whiskey.
Right.
Okay?
That's right.
Big difference, right?
That's right.
Huge difference. Right?
By the way, he was asleep.
I love that.
We need all police officers to start to step up and back these guys
up. Well, they're stepping out.
Yeah.
What they're doing.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, in Atlanta, my understanding is right now, basically, most of the rank and file police officers are calling in sick.
Yeah.
So what you have patrolling the streets now are a few dozen senior officers that are still like the leadership.
That's okay.
You know,
hey, we've got offices in Williamsville and we've got them in Jupiter, Florida. Both of those areas
very
can afford
safe.
A private police department.
Absolutely.
Right? Give me my
Island has that.
Give me my tax money back. Yeah. Give me my tax money back and I'll go out and we'll hire our own police department. Right?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Jupiter Island police are private police.
I think you're right.
Jupiter Island specific.
Yep.
I think that's a private force, I believe.
I think you're absolutely right. And if you come into Jupiter Inlet Colony, that's where the police station is, right there in the middle, in the front of the island.
Right.
Like, hey, we're here. Just so you know.
Yeah, you're not going across this bridge.
Yeah.
It's just, when you look at the difference between protesters on the left and the right, let me just give you an example of the protesters on the left, because I think it's a stark difference. And we'll play the video here for you. I'll just play the audio here. But if you have, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, go watch the YouTube video tomorrow when it comes out. You can find the Financial Guys YouTube channel where you'll see most of our podcasts are video versions as well. These are the Democrat protesters, and I'll play the conservative protesters. Whoops, I have no volume. Sorry. Helps when I turn the volume up on the thing, actually. Here we go. These are nice, peaceful young ladies.
They don't care that we just have cardboard! I fucking saw you! What the fuck is wrong with you? This is the country we live in.
Totally out of control.
Her voice is going to be awfully harsh when she goes to her job tomorrow. Unbelievable.
Oh, I'm sure she'll have to call
in sick. Nice young ladies.
I know.
Screaming.
Sweetheart, all loving left.
These are park police officers, right? These are
the all loving liberal left. Right? They just want to include everybody.
Yes, yes.
It's the summer of love.
Now, here's the... Now, here's a Trump protester or a Trump guy at the rally, and you can hear the difference here between the two.
I mean, the thing is that, I mean, if you're going to burn down cities and defund the police, you're no friend of ours. I mean, these people are the same people that rigged an election, rigged an investigation, and rigged an impeachment process against the American people, and they lost all three. I mean, they voted for a guy named Obama not once but twice, and he stole everything. That's why they were down on Epstein Island raping and eating those babies down there. Just look at the flight logs. They all knew who he was, what he did, where he did it. That's why they got on his plane to fly down there and do it with them. That's what the real problem is. It's pedophilia. And as soon as, you know, everybody finds out that all these people are pedophiles, that's when the party really begins.
Yes, we got to expose them for who they really are and show people, give people the truth instead of pitching.
$5,000 worth of hot dogs. Please explain that to me. It's in their own emails.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. One question for you. Why do you choose today not to wear a mask?
Well, the reason why I don't wear a mask is because it's not easy being a trendsetter. You know, people think it's easy. But it's not. I mean, it's a hoax. 99.7% survival rate. Are you kidding me? I mean, you've got Bill Gates running around like a psychopath trying to cram his vaccine down my throat, and I'm doing just fine without it, Bill. Didn't you go down to Epstein Island yourself? Epstein and Weinstein just doesn't sound like a Presbyterian problem to us.
He's got more of those. It's great. He's not done yet.
That we should be doing it on a daily basis. On a daily basis, washing your hands, staying at least.
I'd make out with you.
Stephen, it was so great talking with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Right,
do you have anything else you want to say? Maybe to have a
any last comments?
Oh, yeah. Out here?
Absolutely. Stars and Bars, Red, White, and Blue, home team, man. It's Trump 2020. They're throwing an octogenarian at us, struggling with dementia, trying to hide liquor on his breath, dealing with a son who just got a stripper pregnant down in Arkansas, cheating on his dead brother's wife.
He was spot on.
Honest
man.
To God.
He was spot on.
Any last words? Yeah, let me use my last 15 seconds while.
That's
he just
awesome.
Crushes it.
That's awesome. On that right. note,
what a difference, though, between the two, right? Yeah, absolutely. Look, folks, if you need us throughout the week, of course, go to our website, thefinancialguys.com. We do manage money for a living, and you can find out all the different departments and everything that we do right there. You can also find all of our links to all of our social media pages. We are active on Twitter, active on Facebook and Instagram. And, of course, we have our own YouTube channel. If you're watching this on YouTube, thanks again. We really, really appreciate it. If you liked what you watched and you like what you saw, please share this with your friends. Give us a like below. Hit that thumbs up button. And don't forget to hit the subscribe bell so you'll be notified whenever we release a new video, which usually comes out weekly on Wednesdays. If you're listening to this on your podcast on Tuesday, we certainly appreciate that as well. God, do us a favor and share this with your friends. We want to get the podcast message out as much as we can and grow the podcast. And, of course, if you like talk radio, don't forget to tune in each and every Saturday. We are live on WFTL, WBEN, WHAM in Rochester, all up and down the East Coast. So go to our website again at thefinancialguys.com for all the information on all the different things that we do. Thanks again for listening and watching. We appreciate it. Be safe out there, and God bless.